The important thing is I'll see the costume changes, so I'll know. It'll
Yes,
be
yes.
meaningful to me.
Yes, it'll be meaningful to you. Unlike the cast of SNL season 51 who's getting butchered this week.
Listen, that is insane. I mean, at this point, it's time for a change.
Yeah, but I really liked Heidi Gardner. I thought she was one of the few people like that's
I
always like
agree.
delivered. You know? But hey,
Yeah.
look, I may impersonate the man, but I am not the man, so I can't keep people there.
I'm surprised he's still around, man. He should retire, like, at this point.
Dude, that's like telling Walt Disney not to be at the park. Like it's his baby. Like he it's like telling, like the guy who like Steve Jobs not to be at Apple. Like it's very difficult for them to they are so it's like they're so synonymous with each other that it's impossible to separate.
Yeah.
I mean, he did leave for 5 years, and I don't know what he did. He went off there and went back to, I don't know what he did, but he came back
I mean, kind
anyway.
of like Howard Hughes himself, right? And just kind of like watched everyone in the park. Like, not, I don't know, in a necessarily creepy way, but he was kind of like, I just want to see the happy people in my park.
I mean, that didn't last long.
No. I mean, if
Like,
you chain smoke a day, like every day, it's kind of.
yeah, but as is life.
Fair enough. All right. Welcome to Drive to Ants Hockey. We have a good show for you today. I have a couple news stories that I want to get to, and then a very interesting topic that I saw in an ESPN article yesterday. But let's get started with two news stories I had. Let's begin with Carter Hart. I don't know, for those of you playing the home game, once upon a time, he was the most promising, probably, goaltenders in NHL. And then he spent 18 months away. It's been 18 months now.
Yeah, he it's been a better part of 2 years since everything happened. So he's been away for quite a while. So
Fair.
yeah, I mean, there's four other players that are all kind of in limbo if they're allowed to play or not. They're just kind of uncertain at this point, but what did you see? What came over?
Well, let's go over like when he was healthy. One of like so he posted a 2.8 GAA and a 0.906 save percentage in 23-24.
Okay.
And so he's 27, still has plenty of time.
Yeah.
But he wants to return. So he's focused on his NHL return despite past controversy. And at least four teams reportedly interested. So he is not faded. I think, when you have a record like that, 2.8, 2 point, what was it, 2.8 GAA and 906 save percentage, that's insane.
Yeah.
He's definitely got some. Well, let's see. He's 27. Do you think he's still got it?
I think that he, in the time, his short sample size, because he only played for like 2 or 3 years before everything transpired,
Yeah.
he was a very good goalie. He put up solid numbers, as you're saying. And yeah, I mean, if anything, from a physical standpoint, he hasn't played the game in 2 years at a high level. So the wear and tear on the body isn't as if he did play. So I think from a physical standpoint, yeah, I don't see why he wouldn't be able to perform as a top level NHL goalie. The question is he going to be allowed this season or not? I mean, I don't know. It's like one of those things where, the trial, everything happened, everything in
Yeah.
Canada has been concluded. So, I mean, there was an acquittal.
Yep.
With that said, I think it's up to the league if they want to reinstate them, and we'll see what they want to do. I don't know. I mean, other sports have had people in various legal circumstances that were able to go back to their prospective sport. So, I mean, it really is up to the league and what they feel is best for the league. So, well, I guess time will tell.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, I think now the rumor is Edmonton and Toronto are looking at him. It makes sense for him to stay, and go in Canada, even though he's a former Flyer. But yeah, do you think? I mean, I think he could be insane on Edmonton.
He would definitely give them the another goaltending option that will definitely boost them for sure. That's the one knock on that team, was really like the goaltending question mark. Stuart Skinner at times is good, at times is not so good, as we saw. You know, Calvin Pickard, serviceable, but he's not a top tier goalie. And that team is without question in need of as much goaltending help as possible if they want to, you know, win the cup. I mean, that's the knock on that team, is like goaltending. So definitely could help out. Same with Toronto. I mean, Toronto is a little bit different. That team this year is a transitional team without, you know, one of their elite players over the last decade. So we'll see what happens there. But I mean, no one's not going to want to have better goaltending, you know?
Yeah, agreed. So,
but yeah, I mean, look, Canadian got to quit it in Canada. Staying in Canada doesn't make sense. But again, it's up to the league and what they feel is best for the league. So
fair enough.
You know, you can't, you know, it's one of those things where people, how do you respond when given a second chance? You got to be given a second chance.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things, like, I can see both sides, like, hey, you know, he wants to move forward and wants to do X, Y, Z. Cool. He needs the opportunity to do it. Is the NHL. And if the NHL says no, where does he go from there? Does he go to a European professional league? Does he go to the KHL, which is arguably the second most prominent professional men's hockey league in the world? Who knows? I mean, these are a lot of questions that are kind of up in the air, and just we'll find out as we get closer to the season and what they want to do.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if I saw him 25-26 season, realistically. Or, you know, whatever the next season is. I think he can come back. And I think, especially after all the things that have happened, I think, you know, it's a redemption time for him. And I think he deserves it. And I think he could come back from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, he went through the process. He trusted the systems that were put in place. He was, you know, as all those guys did, they went through the whole process. And, you know, that's what the system is for. You know, you're in a situation and you have to kind of see it through, and they came out acquitted. So, you know, time to move on and see what happens in the future.
Fair enough. All right. Let's move to Calgary, where big events have started to come together as 92 players have been called to Calgary for the orientation of the national Canadian teams to prepare for the Winter Olympics in Italy next year. Among them, we have Reinhard, McDavid, Crosby. They're at this orientation camp. What do you think is going on there? What is, like, you know, I guess McDavid is seeing for the first time what it is to be like a Canadian superstar. What do you think is happening over there this week?
What I didn't hear was them receiving boxing lessons, because they Tom tells me it's going to be like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like they're not going to be in play the USA in the opening rounds. I think there's enough teams now that we're like, all right, clearly these are the big two that people want to see. Like, let's put them in different brackets, so when they do play, everything's on the line.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, it's the current and then the future, because I believe, at least in the USA, because as I was looking at that, it's like the U18, the U17, and the Olympic people all together, you know, kind of current and future players to represent their country. And I think it's kind of cool. You know, there's a lot of interviews going on, and McDavid came up, like, you know, his intention is to win a cup in Edmonton. And I think that's the right thing to say.
Oh, we'll get to contract. That in a minute, because that's my next news article.
But yeah, I love the photo of like Sam Reinhart just kind of like smirking, like, you're not beating Florida, buddy. You're not beating us. And like Sidney Crosby's on the other side, like, my man, just like, I get a lot of points. I got my cups.
Vancouver 2010.
Yeah.
And then gold again in 2014, right?
Yeah.
And Russia.
I don't think Sid has lost on the international stage.
Fair enough.
And it's like, you know.
This also marks the first time in 8 years. So in 2018, they skipped. In 2022, they skipped. In South Korea and Beijing. So NHL is making its first appearance in a long time. Are these guys excited?
Yeah, I think so, because it all came down to the CBA, where they weren't allowed to play in the Olympics because of the way it broke the schedule down for a couple weeks. And then the first year they're eligible to play with all the protocols of COVID, they would have missed almost 2 months. So they opted not to allow NHL players to go. So this being that first year, I think it's even more heightened because there's more on the line. There's players that this is their last chance. There are some guys that are up in age where this is their last shot to get that gold. And I think that representing your country is something that they take very seriously. And especially with, the four nations winning that they piggyback off that as Canada, or, you know, I would use that for Team USA as fuel to the fire. I mean, they haven't won in since the Miracle on Ice in 1980. They got close twice. They've won silver twice in the last 40 years. So and USA hockey on the international stage and the junior levels has been lights out. This year they won, I think, every tournament. All the big international, like the U18, the U17, and the Gretzky tournament, Team USA has won. So we're dialed in. We have a great pipeline for the future. And I think getting that 2026 gold, I think would be huge for the next wave of those players. And it'll be great to see guys get that opportunity. You know, it's been so long.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to what you already kind of touched on, which is my next story, is the Connor McDavid situation. And you even touched a little bit on our boy Quinn Hughes. But Connor McDavid came out at the orientation and said that he has every intention of winning in Edmonton. But quickly followed that up with, I'm going to take my time to make the right choice about re-signing with Edmonton. Is that kind of his way of saying, I'm going to give you guys one more year, but after that, I'm bouncing?
Yeah, he. That's exactly what I took it as. He's a man that is true to his word. He's going to honor his contract. And, you know, by the trade deadline, look, if he's by the trade deadline and they're like, yo, I'm not coming back, you better trade me, get something for nothing. Like, it's Gretzky all over again, you know? But at least this time, you know, the media is crazy. Like, we're going to have this story all season, is going to be in the back of everyone's mind. Is he coming back? If not, where is he going? He can't go to Florida. There's no money in Florida. So he's not going to be a Panther unless they, trade, four people. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But no, I think it's one of those things where it's like the line from Miami Vice. It's like, I don't audition for work. Work auditions for me. He's like, I'm not, you need to show me, because I've already showed you what I could do.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I'd love for him to stay in Edmonton. I think him and Draisaitl are one of the best 1-2 punches of all time. They're electric when they're on the ice. Their power play is next to none. It's like Jagr and Lemieux of the 90s, you know, Gretzky, Curry, Gretzky, Robitaille, like Gretzky with Brett Hull. Name a guy with Gretzky, and you know, there's magic there. Yeah.
Agreed.
So it's one of those things where I'd love to see it there, but the excitement or the unknown, where would he go? Because it's got to be a big market. He's not going to end up in the Midwest on a smaller team or a small market team.
I mean, Toronto would love to have him back, but I don't think they're any closer to ending their drought than Edmonton is.
Yeah. Do you know what's a surprise team where you think about it when you just take it, you just kind of take a step back? If you're looking Canada, I think he is from the Toronto area. So going, like you said, back to Toronto. But there's a lot of eyes on that. That's like the Yankees. That's like the Cowboys. Like, there's so much media there. And I don't know if that's something that he wants to deal with, because a lot of players go there for a season and they're out. They're like, I ain't dealing with this. This is ridiculous. Like 40 reporters in the locker room after every game. Like, I just want to do my thing and go home. Like, I have to sit, you know, you're not getting out of there for hours. Like, that's a lot of commitment to it. With that said, I mean, who knows, man? Kind of cool to see if he goes somewhere. Does he go to an LA? Or, you know, I know they're throwing that because of the Gretzky thing, but LA is a big market. Chicago. Imagine him in Chicago with Connor Bedard. Dude, that are, you know, United Center's buzzing for the next 10 years. I'm moving to Chicago. I don't think I'd fare well because it's too cold and I don't like the wind. But but that's something that's exciting.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to one more speculation here that's kind of won't go away. Now, we are making a trek this year to a couple, arenas to kind of see teams we're really excited about, one of which is the Vancouver Canucks. But apparently, if we wait a year, Quinn might come to us because these rumors are not going away. And there is now a new rumor that Quinn has basically given the Canucks an ultimatum and says, you know, we have 1 year to turn this around, or I'm going to the Devils. Now, again, this is speculation at this point. We don't have anything confirmed, but the rumors are consistent and they're not going away. So I think this is a real possibility. What are your thoughts?
He wants to play with his brothers, and when that is his driving force, and he's on a team that had great upside, took a huge step back last year. You know, we've said our piece about the fires in Vancouver. for a city surrounded by water, there's a lot of flames they need to put out over there. But hey, with that said, I want him to stay. I like the fact that he is the leader. He is arguably the best defenseman in the league. He is the anchor and captain of that team. He should stay in Vancouver. And he's basically kind of said what McDavid said in a different way. Let's build this team. Let's get back to winning. And all is right in the world.
Yeah.
If we tank by, you know, friggin' January, I'm out. Like, I'm just going.
Yeah.
And, you know, the question is, can they afford to have the three Hughes brothers financially?
Yeah,
because
true.
They still haven't re-signed Luke. Luke is in this position where he hasn't signed his contract. There's a lot around Luke, too, where the running joke is, at this point, does Vancouver put an offer sheet on Luke Hughes? Because he is an RFA. They could offer sheet him.
That's fair.
Then is it waiting for Jack to go to Vancouver? I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts.
You're not wrong. I would say Hughes has made a fan, you know, a Vancouver fan enemy. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad he's there. Yeah, and I'm super excited to go see him in Vancouver.
Yeah. Like, I'm tempted to buy his jersey, but at the same time, every time I buy a player's jersey, they get traded or, like, they sign with a new team in the offseason, so I'm not buying a jersey. Unless I could see an 8-year contract, like, I'm not buying a jersey.
Fair enough.
Yeah, like, it's just nervous. It's like, these are $200. Gotta get out. I go get Jake Ensel. Get traded. You know? It's
all
like
right.
Ryan O'Reilly, traded. Like, I don't. If I buy your jersey, you see me on social media wearing your jersey, there's a chance you're getting traded or you're signing with another team. Yeah. But that's just my wallet talking.
All right, moving on. I figure we could do 5 of these a week for the next few weeks and just get through as many as we could. But there's a really interesting article I read on ESPN.com yesterday. And it is – maybe it was today. Yeah, it was yesterday. About the all-time best person or players drafted at each pick. So I figure we start easy in the top 5, and I'm going to give you what they say is the best person to be drafted, you know, number 1, number 2, et cetera. We'll go through 1 through 5 today. Give me your opinions on their pick, and if you have another pick you think would be more deserving. Sound good?
Sure.
All right. So let's start with the number 1 pick. They went with Mario Lemieux, drafted to the Pittsburgh Penguins in 1984, arguing if this ranking had been compiled 15 years ago, there would be little debate that Le Magnifique was the greatest first overall pick in NHL history. Lemieux played only 915 games in his career, but he scored 1,723 points, 690 goals, and 1,033 assists, second only to Wayne Gretzky. But still kind of puts him above talent that's been, you know, also drafted there, Ovechkin, Crosby, and McDavid. What are your thoughts?
My first thought was Lemieux.
Really? What was it?
The guy, if you watch the history of the Pittsburgh Penguins, you fall in love with this guy all over again. I was a Penguins fan growing up because I went to Pittsburgh, went to Pennsylvania, Western PA as a kid. Always seeing Pittsburgh stuff. Before I knew what it was, I was like, oh, I was a little kid. Oh, the Penguins, cool. I was a kid, like, you know. And then always him and Yager, that whole team, like Kevin Stevens, Ronnie Francis, so on and so forth. Loved that team as a kid. And the way the game slowed down from it, it's like Messi playing soccer. Like, he's moving it so fast where everyone else, it just looks like everyone else is in slow motion. And the way he controlled the game, and he was just a pure scorer. He was able to make plays. He had phenomenal hands, phenomenal shot. Like, if you watch his highlights, it's like he's not even – he's just on a different level. It's unreal. Yeah. Like, I was watching him in the 92 All-Star Game shootout, and he was, like, the eighth person to go for the East. Two quick moves, makes the shot, goal, they win. And I was just like, yeah, that's how I do it. It's like, whoop, whoop, goal. And there are so many times where he would do – like, you'd watch him in slow motion, like these quick little head fakes – open the gloves up a little bit, the goalies go flying, and he just puts it right in. Right between the legs, right in the five hole, little slideroo, no hard slap shot. And he's like, that's all I need. Give me the points.
Fair enough. All right, so you're in agreement. Yeah. Let's move on to the second overall pick. So this one came down to between two people. Do you want to take a guess as to who they are?
No, there's so many. There's like 200 people get drafted every year. Yeah.
So they said it came down to be between Evgeny Malkin and Marcel Dion. And they went with Dion because he had more titles and the sixth highest goal total ever in his Hall of Fame career. So, yeah, Marcel Dion, drafted by the Detroit Red Wings in 1971. What are your thoughts?
Dude, Dion was a friggin' beast. Two different eras.
Yeah, of course.
But
you have to adjust for era, so it's a little harder, but yeah.
You know, not a bad – see, this is – it depends on what the criteria is. Dion's going to have more points. He's going to have, you know, Hall of Fame player, one of the greatest players of all time, that, you know, hands down. But do you consider titles? Because if you consider titles – then Malkin's the better player because he's got three titles. He's got over 1,000 points. He's got I believe he's got 500 goals. You know, he's got 500 goals. He's won Conn Smythe and Art Ross, won a Hart, which is MVP, won the Calder, three All-Star games. So it's a coin flip. I mean, for me, again, Pittsburgh, I like Geno. Malkin's someone that I've liked his entire career.
Yeah.
I would, just because I got to see him play, I would go with Malkin, because for me, when we look at the whole scope of it, you look at personal stats and what you did for your team. He got three cups. Dion doesn't have the cups, and that's all I'm basing it on, just on that.
Fair enough. All right, number three. This one was apparently very easy for ESPN to put together, because they basically said this defenseman was responsible for four Stanley Cup wins, and that is Scott Niedermann, drafted to the New Jersey Devils in 1991, and collecting a Conn Smythe and Norris Trophy en route to the Hall of Fame. He was the prototypical blue liner, inspired a generation of players who could fill the net as well as prevent goals on the other end. Thoughts?
Perfect. the fact that I got to see him play as much as I did, because he played for New Jersey for a huge chunk of his career. He did play in Anaheim towards the end. He played, you know, five or six seasons in Anaheim, but over 10 in New Jersey. Being in our backyard, I went to a ton of Devils games, and my man was so fast.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was effortless. It looked like everyone was in quicksand and he was just buzzing around, moving the puck, great facilitator, and he didn't sacrifice in his own end. Phenomenal defense, great guy who can score. 100%, there is no question when it comes to Scott Niedermeyer.
Fair enough. All right. And we'll do one more this evening. Now, this is the number four slot, so the best player ever drafted fourth overall. And that is, in 1983, the Detroit Red Wings drafted Steve Yzerman. Okay. Just
say that. GOAT. That's it. I don't care if who the next 17 people are. He's the GOAT.
Well, they say, now this is very interesting. They said it is absolutely his spot now. but there is actually a wonder 10 years from now, will Yzerman concede the spot to Cale Makar, drafted by the Avalanche in 2017? What are your thoughts on that?
That is feasible because Cale is a generational talent. The guy could score 20-plus goals, close to 100 points. Phenomenal player. So, yeah, I could see – let's look at it in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Makar keeps doing what he's doing, yeah, I think Yzerman might have to lose that because he's doing things that very few defensemen do. Like, there's not – when I think of Cale Makar, I think of guys like Brian Leetch, Dennis Potvin, Bobby Orr, in terms of the amount of points they're scoring as a defenseman.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing defense, but they're playing like an offenseman. You know, they're playing like a winger. They're putting up so many points. They're so fast in and out of their zone. They're not sacrificing on defense. So, yeah, let's see how it is in 10 years. But right now, my man's got 3 Stanley Cups, 1,700 points in 1,500 games, over a point per game. Stevie Y is now the architect behind the Detroit Red Wings. He is the general manager. He helped build the Tampa Bay teams that ended up going to the Stanley Cup. He had left prior, but he was, you know, a catalyst for bringing in some of that talent that could help get them there. So yeah, man, I've always liked Steve Yzerman. He's got one of the greatest goals of all time.
Yeah.
Always look it up. It was in like ESPN hockey highlights forever, coming through the zone, ripping a slap shot. And it's great because he passes Wayne Gretzky as he goes to take this shot. So Gretzky's in the scene and he's like, can't let it down because he's there. Like, he just,
oh man.
And it's like, he takes the slap shot and the camera is perfect where it goes right to the top right corner. What it's like, and he played on a phenomenal team with Fedorov, Shanahan, Nick Lidstrom. The list goes on. Stevie Y will always be one of the best players of all time. And yes, keep him there. And well, I mean, you know, yeah, not a lot of people go into the league at like 18 and put up like almost 100 points in your first year.
That, fair enough. Yeah. I'm not going to argue. Yeah. All right. Well, sorry to cut it short, but we have a time restraint this evening, so I will say thank you. And any final words before we adjourn for the week?
Enjoy the holiday weekend. Have fun. Yeah. And, you know, let's see if some of these RFAs get signed because, you know, season's a couple weeks away.
I know, right? We are going to see what happens. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you here right same time, back for more Drive to Antakya.